It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm here, as always, Angelo, with Alex. We're going to talk about some fantasy today. So what's going on, Alex? What you got?
What is going on, guys? It's hard. Just came out from work, but totally ready for this show. I mean, I have a few topics that have popped up during the weeks, during this week. And there's a few, like, fantasy headlines. Plus, one very, like, odd result for one of my leagues. And I guess we can start by that, because I sent the screenshot to one of our leagues, but it's one of the chats that you rarely see. But I had one league, so it's the streamer league that I've talked to you about. It's one of my only money leagues. So in this league, I managed to get a tie in decimal scoring.
Tie?
Yeah. I tied 107.58 to 107.58.
Do you know how like mathematically unlikely that is? How improbable that is?
Yeah, I figure it's quite unlikely, especially like in decimal. I would think it's pretty unlikely. They basically, like, it came down to DK versus Waller for the Monday Night Football, and I was leading. What? I didn't get you.
You had Waller, didn't you?
No, I had DK.
Oh.
So I was, like, after the touchdown and so on, I was comfortably ahead. I think I was around, like, 4 points ahead or something like that. But then, like, in one of the last drives of the game, with, I believe it was, like, 5 minutes left, I mean, Danny Dimes completed one pass for 8 yards to Darren Waller, so that's 1.8. And then he completed another pass for 8 yards to Waller, so that's a combined 3.6. So I was up by 3.6, and then, yeah, Waller tied the game with 2 garbage time catches, basically.
Waller.
Pretty wild stuff.
Darren Waller. Which, by the way, the Giants offense all night looked bad.
It looked bad. I was looking pretty good. He had one catch for, like, what was it? I think it was one catch for 5 yards before that. So I was sitting pretty. I was thinking, like, DK scored 12.4. This is PPR. So he scored 12.4. Waller at 1.5. And then, like, very garbage time stuff. 2 passes to him for 8 yards. And that's a tie. I don't believe there will be any stat corrections to change it. So it's officially, I believe, my first tie ever. Having played, like, fantasy football for, what, 6 years now? 6, 7 years? My first ever tie.
That actually messes up standings really, really badly, too, when you have a tie in
it
fantasy.
Does.
Oh,
like,
man.
On one hand, I was kind of pissed because, like, I was sitting pretty and I thought I had win the week. It's also a league when you try was, like, 1-2, so now I'm 1-2-1. I really wanted to get to 500 before, like, the buy starting to roll. So, yeah, not great overall, but probably not the worst outcome. I guess if Waller had, like, 1-for-9, I would be even pissed. I would even be more pissed, I guess. So,
what, losing by 0.1 points?
Yeah. After him doing nothing for the whole day, whole night, I guess.
Crazy.
So that's a new one to me.
Imagine that happens. What happens if that happens in the playoffs?
I believe, like, it go. The tiebreakers are either points scored in the season, if not mistaken.
Oh.
Sometimes it goes to the bench. I actually thought there was no way to have a tie in fantasy football, so I immediately thought that the bench points would be it, But no, apparently not. There are ties in fantasy football.
There are ties in, yes. Yes, because there are.
I remember back in the, I'm not sure if you had seen the show, but it's The League. Do you remember that show?
No.
Yeah, okay, so it's a show about fantasy football. And there was like one guy that basically like one of his points were that there were no ties in fantasy football, and that it was a whole episode about it, that they should figure out like a way to have a tiebreaker here. So I thought there was a way, but apparently not. Apparently ties happen.
Yeah. Actually, I was so in one of the very few leagues that you're not in with me, we have kickers. And it's a dynasty league. Okay. And we had this discussion about, like, because we removed kickers in our main league. And I had a discussion because at the time, I voted for the kickers to stay. And I told the group at the time, I understand, like, the argument for kickers leaving because, A, they score so little points comparatively to, like, each other. Like, your best kicker and your middle of the road kicker, the difference in points is probably like 5, if that, 2, 3.
Yeah.
For the most part. And like, it's also just like a grimy way to win a game. Like no one wants to watch a football game that ends on a field goal. They want to watch a game where it ends on you getting into the red zone. So I understand like the philosophy behind it. And I got this like whole long paragraph about how, you know, kickers matter and they're very skilled and, you know, I hope you lose games to a kicker. And I was like, my man, they don't even track losing a fantasy game unless it usually starts at around 10 points. Like, the statistical likeliness of you losing a fantasy matchup by 5 or less points is like in the single percent. So what are we talking about here?
And now I managed to get a tie, which is even more impressive. And I believe like in our main league, I believe like in week three I lost by 0.3 points, and in week two I won by 0.1 points.
So you are the anomaly.
I am a statistical anomaly, I guess.
You are the anomaly, yes. Although I will say, like, because of how long our Dynasty League has gone, I think that, oddly enough, this is just what I've noticed about Dynasty Leagues. At the start, it is very, very easy to accumulate a team that is better than a lot of the rest of the teams. That doesn't necessarily mean you win, but it's easier to accumulate the assets to have an impressive team. As the years go on, it's a lot harder to maintain that. And as drafts happen and top-end talent is now procured through the draft, it becomes a lot more even as you get going along. Because it's harder to maintain that.
And it's also very, like, from someone that is usually like always trying to be competitive in every single, I wouldn't say in every single league, but like in the leagues that I care about, I'm always trying to be competitive. I tend to avoid any sort of rebuilds. It's also very time consuming because you need to go look for the deals. You can't just sit on your hands and wait for them to come. So it's constantly like DMing guys to see if players are available, to check on values of every single guy, just to know like if I need to make a trade for a guy, that's where it costs there, that's where it costs in said team. So yeah, it's time consuming. I can only do it in like two leagues. It's our main league and in the NFFL. And in our main league, I've slacked a bit. As you've seen, like the team is still good, but it's not as dominant as before. So,
no, I think the difference between you and the second best team is a lot, and I think that might actually be Alex Miller's team.
Yeah,
the difference between you and the second best team is a lot closer than you probably would like.
Although, like the second highest points for team right now is Link,
really?
Which I wouldn't say it's like, yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah, like 30 points, I believe. So not much, but it's It's because he has players that are like not super dynasty friendly, but are like producing. They're like James Conner, for example. Like, see, tops is like running back 16 right now. DeAndre Swift, running back 9. So yeah, guys that aren't super appealing for fantasy, but they are playing well, so he's performing. Those are the only 4-0 teams, though.
What, you?
Alex? No, I lost the game.
Oh, you lost a game?
Yeah, as I was saying, like in week 3, I lost by 0.3.
Huh.
So, yeah.
So you're not even the 1 seed right now.
Oh, I'm the 3rd seed, if not mistaken.
Oh.
Yeah. Surprising stuff.
But that's my point. Like, as your leagues go on, you get more balance. Like, because I don't know how to say this, but depending on your format, like, you might have to, like, blow it up. Like, in our format, I couldn't just bench all my top-end players and get the 101. You actually have to have a crappy team to get the 101.
Yeah.
So
it's also like people like know you have a good team and they know you are good, so they will obviously demand more from you in trades. That's for example, in the 32 team league, like the other Alex, the Alex that is also in our 16 team league, like whenever I try to deal with him, I always have like an Alex tax, so he always adds like something. Yeah, that has become annoying.
Does that get annoying? I know Justin says it a lot too. Well, your team has this player, and this player, so you should be paying more.
Sort of. I think it's sort of like as a joke because it's a running gag.
It's not a joke, my man. It's not a joke.
It is like a running gag. It is a running gag that's like you shouldn't trade with Alex because Alex fleeces you and so on and so forth. It gets like tiresome at some points because like I always have to pay more. Then team, like for example, right now, Corey right now is pretty stellar team. I mean, he has outscored me in like most weeks, I believe, in the NFFL.
Yeah.
And like, he's getting deals that I usually got, basically. He's getting like deals that he isn't paying a whole lot. He's paying like a fair price to a lower price because folks aren't like zeroed in on him. Because like he has sucked for quite a few seasons. He has been tanking quite a lot. So now he gets better deals, which means his team is now, I wouldn't say it's better, but it's closer to mine.
You don't want to
It's probably the closest team to mine.
Yes.
Yes. That's basically it, yeah. That's happening here. I mean, this happened in like the 16 team league for a while.
I think it's still happening.
Because, like, one thing is that it really shouldn't happen because I never win, so.
But you're still the even
player. Yeah. That's what I said to Corey the other day, because he was like, oh, this is, like, the 3rd week in, I believe he said, like, 3 or 4 weeks he has outscored me, and I was like, yeah, but I didn't even win the championship last week, so just compare yourself to the guy who won. But, yeah, I mean, it's a running gag in a few of our leagues at this point.
But that I don't even know how to explain this, but you're in an interesting situation where even if you don't win, it feels like you win because people just have to look at your team and be like, oh yeah.
That is fair. That makes sense. Yeah, because it's not like there's teams in here that you look at them, and now I'm talking about the 32 team more because there's more teams.
Yeah.
There's teams in here that you look at them and you know, okay, these teams are clearly better than most of them. But then I'm humble bragging here, of course, but like, then you look at my team and it's like, damn, even if the guy doesn't win, he'll probably be around for a bit. And like, in turn, there's teams in here that you say, yeah, those teams are good, but like, there's aging players. There's not a lot of depth. There's like factors like that that probably like doesn't make you feel like sorry for them, but like it's indifference. You're indifferent towards them. And like in my case, you look at my bench, Like, my bench probably makes the playoffs in that league.
Probably.
So, yeah, I had this argument with Corey about that. And, yeah, I think my bench would make the playoffs. So, yeah, it's... I understand why it is the way that it is. Just at some points, I just wish I didn't have to spend as much on trades. But, yeah, it happens, so...
That is the cost to being dominant. You think that, you know, you'd think this doesn't happen in the NFL, where a lot of people didn't want to trade with the Patriots because of how dominant they were. There was this whole thing about Bill Belichick wanting to acquire like mid to late round picks. And there was a strategical advantage to that because, you know, you get talent on a 4-year deal on a cheap contract. But there's another reason he did that, because no one else was going to give him the talent. Like, so
now he always also just gets like the former like DBs that play for them, mm-hmm. and were good, and then they signed major deals somewhere else and they obviously sucked, because we have known this for a while now. Patriots DBs are only good in New England. So now he's getting like his rejects basically coming back and being good for them. So now the latest addition is addition is JC Jesus J. Christ, Jackson. It's tough talking right now. Yeah, JC Jackson, mm-hmm. who was just traded for them for like a 2026 or 2025 pick swap. So
yeah, so. You can't do that in Dynasty, though. In Dynasty, there isn't players who only play good for Alex. That's.
I mean, that's Chase right now is looking like he played much better for me.
What's that?
Chase right now, he's looking like he played much better for me than he is for you.
And I cannot tell you how many freaking leagues the Bengals' offensive woes have cost me. I don't think I have a winning record in like anyone except one or two. I really don't.
How are you doing in like our redraft league?
3-1.
Oh, you're 3-1, yeah. Yeah. But that's, you didn't invest in
the Bengals. Yeah.
You just invested in the Packers. As we all said.
Packers and the Dolphins.
Jordan Love, QB3 on the season.
Yeah. Who would have guessed it? My bold prediction came true, at least so far. I don't know.
I do have like regarding like Anthony Richardson right now, because that's one topic that we disagreed, yes. like during the offseason, and he, like, he's doing great right now. He's fantasy, he's not passing for a lot. Yeah, for fantasy he's doing great. So I mean, is he like, there's two rookies here that I want to talk about. But is he like a top 3 QB right now in Dynasty?
No offense. But if you didn't like what Justin Fields did in Chicago last year, then you shouldn't be liking what Anthony Richardson is doing right now. Because it's the same thing. It's essentially the same thing.
I mean, the Colts have won 2 games, though. They're 500.
They are.
When was the last time that Chicago was 500?
I mean, you're not wrong that. But...
like, and they should, like... not that they should, but they had a chance to be 3-1. Like, if they get the kickoff, I'm pretty sure they at least score points, so.
But is Anthony Richardson really doing better than Justin Fields did last year? Is it just that Anthony Richardson has a better defense behind him right now?
I think that, like, on field, I think Anthony Richardson has looked better than Fields ever has before, like, the Denver game.
Okay.
If you take out, like, the fantasy stuff, like, because, like, when we look at Fields, we have this perception, and I think, like, most of the love for the guy comes out of that. Otherwise, he would have been run out of town just by, like, his play style and, like, by his play overall. But, like, I think Richardson has showed more in, like, the, 2 games in 1 quarter that he played than Fields had, like, until Denver.
I don't know.
To be frank.
I think that's a little bit unfair for Fields, but
I don't think
oh,
Fields has
speaking
shown
of which,
much.
I got a trade proposal from Patriots guy.
Oh, those are always fun.
Oh my God.
He sent some fun ones.
Miles
What
Garrett
did
for
he
two
send you?
first round picks.
He just doesn't take my Miles Garrett trade. I'm offered to. I mean, if you want, if you want, you can trade Myles Garrett to me.
What for three first round
Right
picks?
now, no, I've offered them like one first round pick in 20. It is in 2026, though. I have offered them a 2024 second, a 2025 third, and I've offered them Odell Beckham and Matthew Judon, who's probably going to end up on IR for the season, but yeah.
Yes.
A movable asset in the offseason, though.
100%.
I just think he's like shopping around because he really wants two firsts, but no one is giving him the two ones.
Why?
There's only one guy that would. Curry wants to give him the two firsts, but Curry can't.
But Corey can't.
He can't because of the money. He doesn't have the money until he moves Goff, and no one is buying Goff. So yeah, I figured like all of this out, and I'm trying to find a way to get Myles Garrett,
There's
but
prob
it's tough because he
honestly,
really
there's
wants two
probably a
ones.
three-team deal that involves me and Corey and that guy because I could probably take Goff's money. I'm guessing a first would have to come my way as compensation for taking the cap hit and
That's the issue though. I've talked about Goff with Corey. He wants a first. I've talked about yeah.
wow.
He wants a first for Goff.
So, yeah.
No way, Jose.
Not for taking on the cap, no. Like if you want the to take the cap to t if you want
Nah, but
to take on the someone to take on the cap, you have to give them something of value. Jared Goff isn't the thing of value. I'm sorry.
yeah. He wants a first though. He wants a because basically he wants to pay a first for Miles. And that will accomplish it because he moves Goff for a one, and then he moves two ones for Miles. But no one is biting.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that, but if no one in your league is biting, you gotta understand, like, either the stars aren't aligned, so either you gotta make adjustment in the pricing of golf, or you gotta pay more. Like,
And
I don't
that's what
know.
I thought. That's what I thought. I thought that he would like sell low on Goff to make the Garrett move happen.
And he's not.
So I went on, yeah, I went on knocking his door because like Goff, buying Goff low, like I could buy him like for a third. I have the money probably, and I would be okay with that even if he got Miles. But yeah, he wants a first for him. So I'm trying to get Garrett here, and I think like the Patriots guy is close. Like in the price that I send him, I think he's okay with the trade. He really just wants the one. But I think if no one bites for 2 1s, he will make the straight. So.
How is Luke doing in here? Because Luke's first was involved.
Looks 3-1, I believe.
Okay, well, and that's fair.
I believe he's 3-1 in both of our leagues.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, so. But regarding Richardson, is he a top 5 dynasty QB?
Maybe.
Because Keep Trade Cut right now has him outside of the top 5. He has him as the 6th QB in Dynasty.
It's interesting.
With Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson ahead of him.
See those names again?
So it's Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Herbert, and Jackson.
No. No.
You wouldn't take him over any of them?
No.
Okay.
There's still quarterbacks I'd take him over
Oh,
that
for
weren't
real.
listed. Like
Like Burrow, would you still take Burrow? Okay. Burrow is QB7 here.
And granted, I get Burrow is, hurt, so his performance is definitely suffering, but it's still Burrow.
Like they also have Stroud as QB10 right now. Stroud is actually ahead of Fields.
I agree with that.
I do as well. should Stroud be ahead of Trevor Lawrence, though?
That's debatable. I don't think so, no. But I do think Stroud should be ahead of Anthony Richardson.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for me because, like...
Yeah.
Like,
maybe not...
There's a reason...
So...
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a two-prong way to look at this. If you're looking at from fantasy points perspective, absolutely, Anthony Richardson has the capability of consistently scoring more than C.J. Stroud. But I'm looking at more of, am I getting an asset out of it? And to me, C.J. Stroud is the safer asset right now, just based on how they're playing right now.
I don't know, man. Probably, but like, Anthony Richardson isn't playing bad to the point at which I would say, like,
it's
he
not
isn't safe.
He's playing bad. I think he's not playing as well as CJ Stroud is, and the way he plays makes him more open to being injured.
Okay. The injury I get, I was thinking about, like, bad play, losing job, and then I was going to say, like, okay. Okay, and I was going to say, but
that's why I have Burrow higher than most, because Burrow, usually when he's not hurt, has a safer floor because his passing is more consistent.
Yeah.
So
I do think that Richardson is a top five QB right now, to be honest, because I would take him ahead of Lamar.
I understand, like, rushing yards, especially from quarterbacks, is how you in fantasy leagues. So I get the higher rankings. I'm just saying, like, when you're talking about dynasty, you're looking at a totalitarian thing. It's, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, I think you get more years out of someone like Burrow than you will out of someone like Lamar or Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields, if that's your cup of tea.
I do have one. Sort of, I don't say sort of, it's a not take. So I think that by end of the season, Anthony Richardson will be higher than Jalen Hurts.
Than Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, in dynasty rankings.
You're crazy.
Maybe. But I do think that, like, Richardson has an outside shot of surpassing Hurts' value, of surpassing Hurts in terms of fantasy points scored.
I think we're, like, buying into this hype a little bit too much right now.
Maybe, but, like, I mean, the dude has played in what? He has played in two games in one quarter, and he's QB 15, so. Like, if I go and check his, like, average, pretty sure he's going to be pretty high.
If he can maintain, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I do think, like, of course, like, the rushing and so on, and he always has the upside to score the touchdowns when it's at the goal line. So I think, like, the upside is there.
But over Jalen Hurts literally has an entire offense dedicated to him to get him touchdowns in the red zone on the ground. Like, are you sure?
I mean, the inventor of the tush push is now with Anthony Richardson, so.
I would have to see it. I would have to see this.
And there's, like, another rookie. This is becoming, like, very dynasty-centric, but, like, there's rookies right now. Those are the hot commodities right now in most of our leagues, because most of the leagues that we play in, I believe, are dynasty leagues.
Yeah.
So, is Sam Laporta gonna end the year as tight end one?
He might. No, he can't.
But he might.
He might, but no, he can't. Like, so one of the things you look for in tight ends, because it doesn't happen very often, is a tight end who produces year one. That, like, never happens. So the fact that he's producing the way he is already is a very, very, very good sign. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's not. But at the same time, usually these things take years to happen. So I guess
currently, according to Keep Treat Cut, so according to the Dynasty community, is tight end 4, which is yes, and he's ahead of Kyle Pitts.
He's ahead of Kyle. Oh my God!
Yes, Kyle Pitts is tanking right now.
Kyle Pitts is yesterday's news, my friend.
It is, which is a shame. Jesus Christ, which is a shame because like, dude is really good. He just needs to get away to find a way out of Atlanta.
I told you going into this year, the Atlanta offense and the assets in the Atlanta offense were like this thing that looks better than it ever could be because of who's the quarterback and how the offense is going to run.
I just want them to go to Heinicke finally, please.
You want to see Heinicke?
I want to see Heinicke desperately.
But here's the thing. I think the first beneficiary, if Atlanta's offense does improve and does become more pass-happy, it isn't Kyle Pitts. Do you know who it is?
London?
It's Drake London. Drake London, at least last year, was better at getting separation and better at getting targeted by Desmond Ridder, who is the quarterback now, than Kyle Pitts was.
I believe... let me see if I can find that again. But I believe, if not mistaken, that Kyle Pitts is currently like leading the league in uncatchable targets.
Oh, which is like,
and the thing is, like, Drake London is in the top 5, I believe. So I'm pretty sure that's not a coincidence.
Desmond Ridder has been as bad as I told you he was going to be.
He is. I didn't expect him to be as bad, to be honest. But, like, I can definitely see Sam Laporta finishing the year as the tight end 1. I mean, I would, the guys, because of the age stuff. It's mostly because of the age stuff. Oh, actually, like, Keep Trade Cut has this one thing where basically you can toggle between Superflex and non-Superflex. So yeah. The thing here that I found is that Superflex rankings are usually more accurate because when you're in the website and they ask you about like players to rank and so on, it usually comes with Superflex toggled on because that's the default. So those are ranked much more often. So in Superflex, Sam Laporte is tight end 2 right now.
Oh my God. Behind who?
Kelsey.
Behind Kelsey? Oh, man.
Yeah. He's in the same tier as Hawk and Andrews. But yeah, he's tight end 2. And Pitts is tight end 6. So he's even behind Kincaid here.
Dalton Kincaid is ranked higher than Kyle Pitts?
In Superflex, yeah. In the other one, it's not. He's still behind.
Woo!
Yeah, so not great. I have Pitts in, like, our main league. It's not great. At some point, I need to start, like, thinking about moving him.
I mean, heck. You know, I thought about acquiring Drake London, and I don't mind buying the dip, but I'm not sure if I necessarily have the pieces you would want, especially for the value Kyle Pitts is going to net you right now. But
still, like, in Keep Trade Cut, he's still worth around, like... Pickens, a mid 2025 first.
Hey, he's worth around Pickens, huh?
Yeah.
He's worth around Pickens, huh?
Pickens, Pittman, Ramondre, Javonte Williams. 2024 late one.
Funny enough, I have. Well, now I have two things that you listed.
Yeah, you have plenty of 2024 late picks, I guess.
So, I do technically have the assets to acquire Kyle Pitts based on Keep Trade Cut's evaluation.
Yes, you do.
And the question is, would you send him over here for a set evaluation?
I don't know.
Do you like have a tight end of consequence?
I traded for Waller.
Oh, okay. So, there's your answer.
And I still
have... Why not?
I still have Hurts kicking around.
So then why not? Why don't you send him over here?
Because I like this so much, and I know that the talent is there. It's just like, it's the scheme, it's the QB. It's not very tight end friendly. I mean, dude is out there running like go routes. He's a decoy at this point.
Like, pretty much, yeah.
What has he done to Arthur Smith's wife? I don't know, man.
But here's the thing, and this is again why is it so hard to maintain a like dominant dynasty team? I can wait for the Atlanta offense to get good. You know, you waiting for the Atlanta offense to get good could potentially cost you a chance at a championship in any given year. It won't cost me because I'm not in that running. I'm not even close.
And if you look at it, like, basically currently I'm holding a stock that is going down. So it's like, how much can I take it until I, like, move on? Because for all intents and purposes, Kyle Pitts was a top five, top three pick, I guess, in our draft. I
picked him at 101.
Okay, you know I also had 102, so.
I'm just saying.
He was 102, but yeah, for all intents and purposes, he was 101. I'm legally binded to say that. Yeah, because the trade, I believe that's one condition in which, like, if I didn't pick Pitts at 101, I would have to give up some random thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm straight.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would move him. I would think about it because, like, Arthur Smith is pretty sad and, like...
Send him over. I am the one team that probably would benefit from the timeline of Pitts. I'm one of the few teams.
You would. Yeah.
You could argue sending him to Justin, but sending him to Justin could potentially hurt your chances at getting the 101. Sending him to me could help your chances, potentially, depending on what happens.
Okay, so I'm just going to send him to Justin for Stephon Diggs. see if anything happens. Those days never started. Because he would never trade with me, so...
No, I'm sure.
And I guess, like, to finalize, like, rookie talk... I guess we can go to the question that I was talking to you about that, like, sparked a few debates, okay. Which was, like, in your opinion, Devon Achane right now is a top what dynasty running back? And, like, conversely, Puka Nacua is a wide receiver what in dynasty? Because those are the two guys that have, like, exploded as rookies.
So... Let's be real. Production is good, especially for Puka Nacua, like a wide receiver. Production is great. But if you're telling me that I already, like, put the flyer on Puka Nacua, like I drafted him in, like, the 4th, 5th, or I picked him up on waivers, then yeah, I'm okay with that. If you're telling me I need to acquire Puka Nacua, I have no, like, confidence in that.
Okay. That's the same stance that I have.
Same with Devon Achane. They're in the same boat. Really.
That's the same stance that I have currently, yeah. I've been like... It's one of those guys in which, like, if I'm wrong, and he is, like, all of this, and it's not just a byproduct of not having Cup, then I'm okay being wrong. I'm okay missing out, and, like, I think, at peace with that.
I think my equation is, like, a first-round pick. Like, if I have Puka Nacua and someone offers me a first-round pick, I'm okay being wrong.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly my stance. Because, like, the price of acquiring Puka right now, I believe it's, like, it's actually, like, a first and a two. It's rising, really? Dude. It's, right now, like, I did want to see, like, do you think they are top what players in their respective positions? Because then I'm going to say, like, what keep trade cut and what was the argument that happened in the league. So Achane is a top what running back?
He's not a running back one.
He's not. He's outside of the top 12.
Yeah. Running back two, because the bar to be a running back two is so low consistently, I could see. like probably a low end running back too, though, because let's be real, he doesn't have the potential to be like an every down running back. And the reason his value would be perceived as so high is because A, the Miami Dolphins, just like I said, going into the season, is historically good. And it's continuing to show it's historically good when Tua is healthy. And so he's getting a lot of touchdowns, but he's not going to be getting 20, 30 touches a game. But he is going to get more opportunities in the red zone because the Dolphins are in the red zone more than any team in the NFL probably right now. So okay. I'd say a running back too.
So in the 20s, basically, for you.
Yeah, probably.
And Puka?
Not wide receiver one, not wide receiver two, wide receiver three.
Okay, so in the 30s, basically. Low 30s, closer to 40s.
Yes.
Okay. So, on keep trade cuts, Puka Nacua is currently wide receiver 12.
Well?
And Devon Achon is currently running back 7.
What? I'd eject. I'd be pressing the eject button so fast.
Okay, so the argument that happened was basically Corey. Corey has A-Chain in the 32-team league, and Corey has been a big I'm just going to say A-Chain. A-Chain fan since, like, college. So he has been pumping him up. Like, I believe he drafted in top 7 in our draft. Mm-hmm. So his argument is that A-Chain should be, like, there shouldn't be any running back that is named Bijan, McCaffrey, Brees, or JT ahead of A-Chain. So, like, no, I'm saying, he's saying that, like, Bijan, McCaffrey, Brees, and Jonathan Taylor are the only four guys that definitely should be ahead of Devon A-Chain.
Nick Chubb.
No. Just Nick, those no, four
Nick,
guys.
Nick Chubb should be ahead of Devon A-Chain.
I mean, there's quite a few guys that should be ahead of him, but he's saying that, like, these are the only four guys that definitely should be ahead of A-Chain. So this part, like, a whole debate, because, like, everyone thinks, like, the guys commenting, they were mostly in agreement that A-Chain won't be able to continue this. It's basically like he's an outlier and, like, he's breaking like 50-yard runs. Yeah. Like, it's a regular thing.
I
which
don't necessarily know if it's an outlier or just a product of Miami's offense being, like, historic. And, you know,
I think, like,
him
profile,
being able to maintain it is contingent on Miami being able to maintain that. But go on.
His profile is probably an outlier overall. His production, comes from Miami's offense.
Yes.
But, yeah, he was basically saying that, like, the value hasn't caught up to what he, like, his current value is.
Running back 7 isn't caught up?
Yeah. And to be fair, at the time it was running back 8 or 10, I believe. But yeah, I mean, his value went in on September, on 24th of September, he was running back 36, like a week and change after his running back 7. So, like, my whole argument was, like, how hasn't the value caught up? I mean, he has jumped like 26 spots in like a week. What are we doing here? I think it's insane that the third round guy who is currently like in a running back by committee, who isn't getting like a ton of touches, who has like Jeffrey Wilson coming back, who is a guy that Miami has showed that they really like. How is that a guy that you can like confidently say is a running back 7? And much less, how is that a guy that you can confidently say that is basically like a running back 5? Ahead of guys like Walker, Gibbs, Etienne, Saquon, Eckler, Jacobs. I mean, some of those guys are old, but still. Damn. Like, and then, like, that old debate, because we were, like, pushing against him quite a bit. So then, like, the question to him was, okay, son, if you feel that way about A-Chain, how do you feel about Puka? Because, like, if you're rating A-Chain super high, because he had, like, two games in which one of them was basically like
a 70-point game. He was in a game that resulted in 70 points being scored.
Like, everyone scored a touchdown there, so that's a really big, like, not only is his profile an outlier, but like one of his two games that he was good in is also like a massive outlier. And in the other one, he broke like a, he had like 8 carries and he broke a 50-yard run.
He broke 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
And so yeah, we asked them about Puka, and like then Denver comes in and says that he would buy Puka at the current cost because.
Wide receiver one?
Yes, because he thinks that this is sustainable from Puka. So, at that point, I feel like I'm arguing with two crazy people because, like, on September 24, like, on September, what, 10? He was wide receiver 67. And then he starts a slow climb, and then he's wide receiver 43 a week after. He's wide receiver 30. By like September 18, and then like out of nowhere, October 3rd, he's wide receiver 12. He's currently ahead of Ayuk, Metcalf, Devontae Adams. Like in general, he's ahead of Breece Hall. Would you trade Breece Hall for Puka Nacua?
Listen, if I had Puka Nacua and someone offered me Breece, I'd smash accept in a heartbeat. I don't care what I'm in.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I feel like the rookie hype is, and I understand, like, at least Puka, I understand because we had a similar case a few years ago. Like, was it last year? No, it was the year prior with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra wasn't the guy who was super agile, wasn't the guy who like exploded at the combine, and then like he started slow, but then he had the opportunities. Because Hockenson went down and Swift went down. So then he was the one, the clear-cut one. And I didn't believe that Amon-Ra would be able to sustain that. So I was pretty against, like, Amon-Ra being that type of player. I've changed my stance since. I mean, dude is pretty great.
The difference between Amon-Ra's situation and Puka's situation. One, Amon-Ra, as hard as this is to believe, is way more athletic than Puka Nacua, first off. Second off, Amon-Ra's like production, like where he is most ideal, was in the slot. He didn't have to have, you know, a wide receiver one go down to get his role available. Puka Nacua did. Like, you can give him his flowers, but the second Cooper Kupp is available to play, Puka Nacua will be away from that slot.
Yeah, my point is that it's basically like, how can you say that Puka Nacua's like usage and like what he has done so far has been sustainable when you're looking at it and he has a what? Let me just check real quick. I mean, he has a 34.4% target rate. He has a 32.5% target share. He leads the league in targets. I mean, he's seventh in the league in routes run. How is that sustainable with a guy like Kupp coming back? Like, isn't Kupp like one of the best wide receivers in the league? Like,
yep.
What happened?
I think we just want it to be true. Like, we invest, especially if you're in Dynasty, we invest so much time researching and, you know, figuring out who the best values are in a given draft, that we have a lot more attachment to these players than maybe they actually are. Like, to ignore all of Puka's flaws and just be like, because, and I get it, like, there are unathletic wide receivers relative to the NFL who make it. But to ignore everything that had to happen for us to get to this point and just to assume that, oh no, Cooper Kupp's out there, but Puka Nacua is going to get 13 targets a game still. Okay. Sure, buddy. Sure.
And one of the arguments that I've seen is that, like, Cooper Kupp is old and so on. I mean, I don't really think that matters, though. I mean, he was still one of the better wide receivers.
Even if it matters, I guarantee you 32-year-old Cooper Kupp is more athletic than 21-year-old Puka Nacua right now. Oh, like, what are we talking about?
Ran a 4.62 and had a burst score in the 26th percentile.
What are we talking
about? Isn't that athletic enough for you? I do like, at some point, like, I understand that not every single great wide receiver has to be super athletic. No. Yeah, so, like, when you prove that you can play, it doesn't really matter what you did at the combine. And I've said this to you, like,
yeah,
a few times so far.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But, like, saying that he is going to sustain this level of production, because the thing is, when you're a dynasty owner and you have these players that were drafted super high, for example, me with Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts has done nothing since his rookie year.
Nope.
But I still hold him. I mean, we've seen the evaluations on him. He's worth about a first. And that's like with 2 years
late
of doing
first.
Nothing.
He's flirting with being a second round value.
Okay, but like my point is, a tight end that has done nothing for 2 years is still worth a late first. Because he was a player that was drafted super high and that people really liked.
Yep.
Like Puka, right now, you're talking about a guy who went undrafted in some drafts, who was a late fourth round pick in most of them, I guess.
Has no investment from the LA Rams.
Exactly. And that has no investment from like the dynasty owners. I mean, it's a great ride right now. He has had four great weeks. But like, if he starts to blink as soon as Cup is back, I mean, his value is going to like bottom out really quick.
I'm just going to say this. If you have Puka Nacua and someone offers you even close to the evaluation of a wide receiver one and you don't accept that deal, you're doing a disservice to yourself. Like you have drunk the Kool-Aid. I don't know what to say other than like you're insane. You're insane. Like if Puka proves everyone wrong and he is like a top 12 dynasty wide receiver, great for him. Keep flowers, all that. But the likelihood that happens is so low that you're doing yourself a disservice by not accepting that deal. If you want to say, I'm okay saying if Puka Nacua is wide receiver one talent consistently, I was wrong that one of the least athletic wide receivers I've ever seen test in a combine is one of the best. Like, I'm willing to be wrong on that. I'm sorry. I'm willing to be wrong. And even if I'm wrong, you gave me the evaluation of a wide receiver one. So you really didn't even give me that much less than what he's probably worth.
Yeah, because like you look at a guy like Amon-Ra, for example, right now he's worth what, two firsts and like some sprinkles in.
Yeah.
So if you're getting like a first and a second, for example, for Puka, and there's some guys who won't even sell for that. They want two firsts. I mean, if you're getting that, then it's like how much better will it get? Probably not much. And like the second thing starts to go sour, people will remember he's like a fifth round pick in like the NFL draft. And he was like a fourth round pick in like, at least Amon-Ra was like a second in most of our drafts. Puka was a fourth, like undrafted type of guy. So the moment it starts to go sour, people will go back to that. And the evaluation goes completely kaboo. So.
Yep. No, we're viewing this with rose tinted glasses right now. So
it is. I agree.
This is one of those situations where you need to take advantage of your league mates, especially who have drunk the Kool-Aid and believe that this man is capable of sustaining wide receiver one numbers.
Yes, I agree. I guess we can jump into like, not necessarily like outside of the rookies, but like more what happened in the week that it has to do with one rookie in specific. But how about those wheels up for Quentin Jefferson? Quentin, I can't even speak right now. The Chargers guy.
And Johnston, man.
Johnston, yes.
Johnston. He's not Johnston, it's Johnston.
Johnston.
With a T.
Yes. How did he do it? I didn't see the game. Can you just read me like a stat line? Do you have it there?
I actually have him in the redraft league, so maybe I can just go to how I did last week.
I did see how he did. I just wanted you to tell me.
Okay. Well, hold on. Gotta go to this league. Gotta go. Any given Sunday. Okay. Go to matchup. And go to last week.
Mm-hmm.
Week four.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. One reception on three targets for 18.
Yeah, how about those wheels up?
So I guess that begs the question, who got the targets?
The guy who should have the targets? Joshua Palmer had 8 targets. Yeah.
All right.
He didn't do much with them. He had like 3 catches. But yeah.
So you're telling me then we still got it. Well, there's still a chance then.
Oh.
There's a chance.
There's a chance, of course. Of course. Except for the fact that Keenan Allen had 5 targets. So I don't expect that to continue. Like, I don't expect the guy who got like 39 targets in the first 3 weeks to continue getting like 5. So I would think that he probably goes up. And Palmer might go down a bit, but at that point, how many targets are even there to go around? I don't know, man. There were some guys who were trying to hype up Quinton Johnston as the next big thing. He is big. It's probably not a big thing.
Was rough.
As I said, wheels down. Wheels down for Quinton Johnston. Like, what are we doing? Like, he's not great. He's not that good of a wide receiver. Just stop it. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, investing in Quinton Johnston is like...
I'm ready for that Quinton Johnston breakout game.
Oh, sure. In the XFL?
In the XFL.
It's like that Adam Silver meme. Get ready to learn Chinese. This case is get ready to play for the XFL, buddy. No, I'm being too rough. Like, the guy isn't like going to the XFL. Because, like, if Justin Fields hasn't gone to the XFL, he probably has a few years left.
Oh,
Johnston.
Ouch.
It's shots fired right now. Like, do you have any fantasy highlights you wanna bring up?
I have gotten and acquired James Cook in a lot more leagues than I probably should have, and it's actually worked out better than I thought it would.
Yes, it is. He's pretty good.
I don't know if I'd say pretty good, but he's had, because like his last game, 12 carries for 21.9 yards, but he got carried by a touchdown and a 48-yard reception.
His usage is weird because, like, first, like, to start, he wasn't involved in, like, the red zone stuff, like, anything inside of the 5 or inside of the 10, he wasn't really involved, but he was involved in the passing game. But now, this past week, he was involved in the carries inside the 10 and the 5, but he wasn't as involved in the passing game. So there's probably some balance there that needs to happen. I do think he's a solid running back too right now. Like, I'm okay with him. I haven't even looked to trade him or anything. But yeah, like, his usage this past week wasn't the greatest, and his production basically came on like the touchdown and a 48 yards reception, so... I still like him. Derrick Henry is back still. Like, then you have the whole David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs combo there that people are starting to freak out about.
David Montgomery just absolutely demolished the opportunity he was given.
He did. 3 touchdown game in my bench in the 16 team league, by the way. Just casually dropping like 40.
Rough when that happens.
I didn't really need him this week, but yeah, sort of rough. Might come in handy for the like tiebreakers and so on. But yeah, I mean, should we panic about Gibbs? Because I don't think we should.
About Gibbs?
Yeah.
So here's, like, the thing. The Lions are really good. Let's not ignore the fact that the Lions were on both of our top 10 lists.
Yes.
So, Jahmyr Gibbs, the way, especially if they're going to use him like Swift, Jahmyr Gibbs is better suited to get production when the Lions are in shootouts or losing big in games. And that just hasn't happened this year.
I agree, but I would also say that, like, I think as the weeks goes on, I don't think he will lose usurp David Montgomery, but I do think he will get more looks and he will get more playing because
would
people
you
are comparing
him
this.
In Dynasty. Has he dropped in keep trade cut?
I think he's still the same. I think he's running back 3 right now. Got like one spot, but he's still running back 3 ahead of Kenneth Walker.
What is going on?
Yeah, it's the thing that we said. I mean, very rough start of the year. No one really expected them to be like this uninvolved. But yet, he hasn't dropped because he is one asset that people really liked and people are like, okay, still holding him. I mean, he has dropped a bit, like in terms of value. He was in the 6,400 and now he's closer to 5,500. So
he is dropping.
He is dropping in value, but he isn't dropping in like overall ranking of the position.
Right. So breaking news that happened while... in fact, let's get them both because they're both running backs I like. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor is listed as full participant at today's practice, his first practice in months. Will Jonathan Taylor be suiting up in the Colts next game?
I mean, the latest that I heard, he was still looking for a trade.
Yes.
And they were looking for around the 2nd in value right now. So no longer like the crazy package.
Yes.
But for him to be back in practice and so on, I mean, I think at least will give it a chance for a few weeks. Show teams there a selfie.
Exactly. Well, not only that, he apparently had an ankle injury to start the season. Apparently, he is completely healed from that. So,
Was from last year, I believe.
I think there's this weird thing that, like, sitting out the first 4 weeks may actually help him as far as, like, his overall health and how he looks, because he doesn't have to go into the season, whatever it was, 75%, 80%, 90%. He gets to come in at 100%. And speaking of coming in at 100%, the second one was Breece Hall. There, he's off the touch limits. Are you ready?
The training wheels are off.
Are you ready for the Breece Hall explosion?
I mean, I would like to see it happen. Do I think it will happen? I mean, if Zach Wilson keeps looking as good as he did last week, then yeah, sure. I think it will happen.
Imagine if Zach Wilson, like, I'm not saying he has to be, like, elite or great, but imagine Zach Wilson is a threat and they can't continually stack the boxes against Breece Hall. That's scary. That's really scary proposition.
Especially if they stop giving the ball to Dalvin Cook. It's like, it's infuriating to me. And I understand, like, managing the touches and so on.
When he comes in?
Like, whenever he's in the backfield and he's about to take a carry, my first reaction is, why? Why are you giving the ball to that guy? I mean, he's clearly dusted. He's not good. So stop giving him the ball. But yeah, they just keep on trotting him out there. But yeah, it doesn't look good at all. So I wouldn't even be shocked if we don't see a lot of Dalvin Cook moving forward. More of a guy that gets in to spell Breece.
Like Michael Carter.
Yeah. Damn, Michael Carter looks better than Dalvin Cook, so.
He looked better in the spurts that I saw him, yeah. Honestly, the Jets offense looked the best when Breece was out there, when I've seen him.
It did. I agree. I think they will just, like, use Dalvin to get the short yardage stuff, because that's what he's currently good at right now.
Yeah.
He's just like a guy that goes in, he's strong, he just moves forward and falls forward.
Yep.
But yeah, interesting news, and now maybe the 101 is truly in risk in our Dynasty League.
That would suck. But, I mean,
I believe, let me check.
There's still a pretty big gap between me and the second place team, though.
The gap got bigger.
Yes.
This week, because I believe you scored like Justin actually had a chance to make something this week. I believe he was projected to win for like a good part of like Sunday and even towards like Monday. I believe before the game started, he was projected to win. But then, like, who did he have? This guy had someone playing in that game, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe I'm just making a mistake. No, it was on Sunday. It was on Sunday, by late Sunday. Justin was projected to win after the early games ended. But then Josh Jacobs went off. So, yeah, he lost because of that.
Crazy.
But he did score around 90 and you were in the 70s. So the gap increased by like 20s, I believe, if not mistaken. So it's currently in the 70s to 100s, I believe. Yeah, if he keeps performing, I don't know. Maybe there's a chance here.
I mean, we'll see. But, yeah. Breece Hall. Can't wait for it.
Wheels up.
Wheels up.
That one, I'll say wheels up. You'll never catch me saying that to Quentin Johnston.
To Quentin Johnston.
Okay. So what else do we have to talk about? Do we have anything else to talk about? That's the question.
Unless you want to talk about just general fantasy stuff, or I know this week is a rough week for you. Is it better just to leave that here and we will get more deeper into stuff next week?
Yeah, I guess because pretty rough week because very tight schedule these past 2 days. So I've managed to fit in like an hour and change. So yeah, I think I'm fine where it's at. There was like one, two things more that I want to talk about, but it are not like super crucial. So I think we can just leave it as is.
Okay.
And then next week we can probably like
okay,
do a deeper dive here.
Accept that trade before we go into the outro.
Did you send me a trade? Which pick is that? Is that like Luke's?
That's Alex Miller's pick.
Oh, sorry. That's going to be like 116, 115. I am going to
counter it.
Leave it be for now.
Leave it be.
I'm gonna do the same thing that you did about Chase. It's gonna stay there. It's gonna sit there for me with a few, like for a few days. Then we'll see. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting to a point in which I probably have to sell him sometime soon.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. We shall see. Maybe next episode we have a development.
Maybe next
here.
Episode I could be coming on here with a fancy shiny new Kyle Pitts. No?
You might. You might.
And it has the added benefit of you likely winning the Marvin Harrison. I'm just saying.
So disappointing after having a 1,000-yard season as a rookie. So disappointing.
I'm just saying, you know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
All right, then. Are we done?
We are done. If you've gotten this far, thank you guys so much for watching. There is actually a few new things that might be coming down the pipeline, but we're going to wait for that. The next episode, I think, is going to be more interesting because now I get a full week to think about like if I want to do a particular segment with the lower end, like the lower time with doing power rankings. And yeah, if you've liked what you heard, there's a nice fancy donate button and follow us on all socials and I'm ready.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars. on podcasts on Spotify, and don't forget to subscribe, turn notifications on, leave us a comment in YouTube, and yeah, we always appreciate those.
All right, peace out, everyone.
Bye.